welcome to On Wednesdays We Watch One Tree Hill, the podcast where a bunch of nostalgic millennials sit around and talk about a TV show from the early 2000s that they either grew up with or have never seen before in their entire lives. As always, I'm one of your co-hosts, Brody, and with me, as always, is Jesse.
Hi.
And Caitlin.
I was muted. Hello.
And today we are talking about season 5, episode 17 of One Tree Hill, the penultimate episode of season 5, I might add, called Hate is Safer Than Love, which, fun fact, is a song by Ben Goodwin, not Ben Harper, that was like the last episode we did. A lot of Bens.
You know, I am remembering all the things that I think occur in season 5. Mm-hmm. And I'm having a really hard time believing we only have one episode left.
Well, we do.
Yep. Speaking of Ben, Ben is very upset that once again we stopped watching at the second to last episode of the season. He's got big feelings about it.
Valid.
He's like, it's like you guys do this on purpose so that you can record the final episode and a recap on the same night. I'm like, yeah, it's almost like we do it on purpose. He's like, oh, it's really annoying. I just want to keep watching. God damn it. Yeah.
I mean, anyway. He's not beholden to the podcast. He can watch however much he wants.
He's beholden to me.
He just can't talk to you about it.
He is beholden to me.
That's very true.
He will not watch ahead.
All right. Anyway, so we open with, I'll just say, a montage of things happening. It's very random things. They make no sense, but we'll get to them eventually. Trust me. So Lucas is coaching the Ravens when the other team commits a very hard foul to basically what he calls it would be assault on the street. And the ref does nothing about it. And Lucas starts yelling at him. We then see Brooke nervously waiting for Angie's surgery to be done. We see Nathan walking in on Deb, flashing her tatas to someone on a webcam.
Horny Deb's back.
Oh, Dan.
With a vengeance.
Yeah. Dan walking down the street as a water balloon falls in front of him. And finally, Jamie walking down the street alone. Not even the street. The road.
The road.
He's in the road. Yeah.
Full Ravens gear and cape.
Yes. Yes.
Walking down the road.
And he truly said, if I'm going to run away from home, better be wearing my favorite outfit.
Yep.
Yep. Then we get a cut that says 18 hours earlier.
This episode was wild.
It's wild. There were a lot of things
that happened at once.
Buckle up, kids, because we got a lot to go through. Okay.
You know how every season I go, how are they going to make this crazy in time for the finale? This is how they do it.
Yes, yes, yes. So we open with the 18 hours earlier to Peyton, woken up by a phone call from the doctor's office. It is time for Angie's surgery. So she wakes Brooke up. They get Angie into the hospital, and she's asking Brooke, why is this such a last minute sudden thing? And Brooke's like, it's because everything's volunteer. Angie's surgery is pro bono. So as soon as they have the time, the space, and the manpower to do it, that's when they do it. So Peyton's like, okay, great. Sounds good. What can I do for you? She's like, can you call Lucas? He's gotten really attached to Angie and I want him to be here. Great. Then we cut to Lucas, who comes to see Skills, and he's nervous about the game plan, but Skills tells him it's all going to be okay. And he can tell that Lucas has something else on his mind. And then Lucas starts talking about how he hasn't talked to Lindsay in over a week, and he's worried that she's ducking his calls. And Skills tells him, no, man, she's probably just busy and everything's going to be okay. Everything's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Skills lying with the best of them. Because you can already tell. Sure. Then Nathan goes to wake Jamie up. And Jamie is already ready for the day because we find out there's a Ravens game tonight, because that kid rips off his covers and he is in full Ravens uniform with his sneakers on, ready to go. Ready to go.
God.
He's so excited.
And a wonderfully period appropriate knock knock joke where the answer is Yahoo.
There's a Ravens game tonight, Daddy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
great.
Yahoo sync.
And then Jamie's like, yep, I'm ready to go. I just got to get my cape. Great. Good job. I love it. Then Brooke is waiting for Angie to be admitted when Dr. Copeland shows up and asks how she is. And Brooke says she's very nervous. The nurse then comes to take Angie, and Brooke starts to tear up. And as they leave, she asks Dr. Copeland what his first name is. And he just tells her to relax and that Angie's in good hands. And Brooke watches in tears as they walk away. Yeah. Then Nathan. Oh, I love this scene. Nathan is going for a run with Jamie attached to him. He's dragging Jamie along on a scooter, and he's tied to it. It's adorable. And Jamie's like, you know, you're doing great, Dad. We're slowing down a little bit, though. Are we okay? And Nathan's like, we're fine. We're fine. We're good. We're good. And then they get to a very steep hill, and Jamie offers to turn around. But Nathan's like, no, no, no. Let me show you what your old man can do. And he starts to go, and we immediately cut. And Jamie says, well, you made it halfway up.
Before they started, though, what does Nate ask him, like, what, you don't think your old man can do it or something like that? And Jamie's like, I'm not supposed to lie, right?
Yes. It was so good. And yeah, so then Nathan admits to Jamie that his body is not what it was, and he still has a long way to go. And Jamie offers up his cape and tells him he can do it. And Nathan says, thank you. I think I can too. And he takes the cape, and they're adorable. They're great. Father, son time. We love it.
Cute.
Yes.
Fucking James Lafferty in that cape, though. I don't know what it was, but I'm like, this is the cutest thing I've ever seen in my whole life.
Yep. Or as he steals Jamie's scooter and they're playing at the river court. It's adorable. It's adorable. Then we go to Brooke, Brooke is very nervous waiting for the surgery as she continually asks Peyton how long it's been. Peyton's like, it's been an hour. And she's like, no, I can't be. You just said it was the last time I asked it was an hour. She's like, yeah, honey, you just asked me 30 seconds ago how long it'd been. Yeah. Then Lucas shows up because apparently he forgot his cell phone at home. How you can tell it's 2008. People forgot their cell phones and they weren't permanently attached to their bodies.
It happens.
Yeah. Yeah, it happens. It happens. And Brooke is grateful he's there and then tells Peyton that, yeah, okay, leave because you have a lot of stuff to do. You have a very big day today because you're recording with Haley, and it's all good. And it's very awkward for Peyton and Lucas as they kind of stand there, look at each other, and Peyton leaves.
Oh, yikes.
Yep. 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 Then we see Peyton walk past an exam room, and we find out it's Dan's exam room with his heart doctor. And we find out he is now number 2 on the transplant list right after, I'm pretty sure, all kinds of HIPAA violations, but I'm not going to get into all that, where the doctor literally tells him who the guy in front of him is and that he's a reverend and that he's in very bad shape.
Yeah, I don't know if that's allowed.
I don't think that's allowed at all.
Super not allowed.
Yeah, super not allowed. You're not supposed to know any of that.
No.
Yeah.
Especially not if you're telling Dan Scott, murderer Dan Scott.
Yeah, which Dan takes offense to. He's like, oh, so you're saying because he's a reverend he deserves a heart more than I do?
Doctor did not answer.
Nope. Yeah. Then Haley is at the recording studio when Peyton shows up, and Haley's like, I should go see Brooke. And Peyton's like, no, no, no. Brooke already told me you have strict orders. You cannot visit until you have recorded at least one song. And as they laugh, we hear Mia's voice come through on the talkback mic, mimicking what Peyton said about Lindsay earlier in the season, saying that she doesn't like her. And it's kind of hilarious. Mia's back. Yay. Then we cut to Nathan and Jamie, who get home. And Nathan asks Jamie to recycle his water bottle. And not Jamie protests a little bit because he's like, you know, Nanny Deb will do it. And Nathan's like, Nanny Deb is not your maid. Go throw this away, you goof.
Big mistake.
Yes.
Huge.
Yes. 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 And as Jamie goes to recycle and throw stuff away, he sees his thank you letter to Dan in the trash and he takes it out. And then we cut back to Mia, Peyton, and Haley, who are quizzing Mia about, you know, life on tour and boys and all that kind of stuff. And she says, you know, like, I'm too busy to, like, do any of that. It's a different city every night. And I'm too busy. But then Peyton asks her if she wants to do a Rock the Vote campaign PSA. And Mia says, abso-friggin-lutely. Yay for PSAs and real-time issues that were happening when this was airing for the 2008 presidential election. Yay.
That's right.
Yep.
I forgot this was pre-Obama.
Yep. He was running. Yeah. So, yeah. And this one's full of product placements. We'll try to, you know, say them as we go, because there's some deuces in this episode, too. It's kind of great. Then we cut to Deb, who is on a webcam chat with somebody, and it takes her top off as Nathan walks in. And then we get the most hilarious conversation where a disgusted Nathan lectures her on what she would have done, you know, if Jamie had walked in. She's like, I thought the door was locked. I'm sorry. And he finds it creepy that she met someone online and they're arranging to meet soon, apparently, even though they've never seen each other. They've just seen parts of each other.
Most of this episode I spent going, oh my God, it's going to be Dan. 90% of
okay,
episode.
That would have been almost as funny as who it actually is.
Exactly. Almost, exactly. Yeah. Almost. Yes. Yes. But yeah, but Nathan just finds it all weird that, you know, she's hiding in his spare room doing this. And she's like, oh, please. The amount of time you locked yourself in the bathroom when you were younger, I didn't say anything. And I know exactly what you were doing there.
Watching Peyton's webcam.
Yikes.
I mean, they were dating at the time.
Just kidding. They didn't have smartphones back then.
Nope.
Oh,
don't
God.
Think I didn't know what you were doing when you drug the family computer into the bathroom, Nathan Scott.
Oh, dear God. No.
You could hear those dial-up tones from downstairs.
I'm done. This will be my last episode, everybody. Thank you so much.
We gotta finish out the season, Brody.
Oh, God. Okay. Anyway, yeah. But then she asked, you know, where is Jamie anyways? Nathan's like, I don't know. I lost track of him when you blinded me, mother. And then we cut to Jamie, who is where we saw him at the beginning of the episode, walking down the road when someone drives up to him. And thankfully, it is his mother. And Haley's like, James Lucas Scott, what are you doing out in the road on your own? And he just holds up the letter to Dan. And Haley just sighs and goes, well, crap. Get in the car.
Yep.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, fuck.
Fuck yep. me.
Yep. She says all that with one sigh. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Then Brooke is waiting nervously at the hospital still, and she tells Lucas that she never told Angie she loves her. And Lucas reminds her that most of the time, love doesn't need words, and she knows that. He then asks her about Owen. He says, what's going on with Owen? And she says, nothing. What's going on with Lindsay? And he says, absolutely nothing. And he tells her about, you know, Lindsay not returning his calls and everything. And she apologizes and tells him that Lindsay's going to be in touch eventually. And she says that he'll be okay for a little while longer.
Yeah.
Then we cut to Haley and Jamie, who are on the playground thing that only I ever called it the Wheel of Death.
Called a merry-go-round, Brody.
Well, it's not a merry-go-round, though, because it's not the horses. It's the one
that's
that
a carousel.
Just... Oh, okay, fine. Great.
Remember, the carousel is for fucking. the merry-go-round is for children's playground.
Oh, my God. Dear
God. Okay, yeah.
Is that a season one callback?
Yes.
Look at that recall.
Wait, one, two, one. Season one.
This was Nikki, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's Nikki.
Yeah. Yep. So yeah, so they're on the merry-go-round, sure. And she apologizes for not mailing his card to Dan, but she says that Dan is a bad person. But Jamie tells her he wanted to just let Dan know that he had a friend, and he tells her that she shouldn't have lied to him. And Haley says, no, I shouldn't have. And she apologizes again and promises to try to explain things better to him. And Jamie forgives her. It's a very sweet scene.
It's so cute.
Yeah. But you know what I love? I love the fact that Joy and James have such good chemistry with Jackson. Like, it's really, it's interesting to find, like, you know, good chemistry as a couple. But to find chemistry from as like a mother-son kind of dynamic is really interesting, and they pull it off so well. It's really, really good. Like,
yeah,
I love it. Then we go to Dr. Copeland, who comes out and tells Brooke that the surgery went well and Angie's going to be just fine. And Brooke thanks him for saving her. Great.
Yeah.
Great.
Thank you, Dr. Kreese.
Stop. We're not.
Whose name, first name, we still don't know.
No.
No, we still don't know. We still don't know what his name is. Then we go to Mia, who is finishing her PSA for Rock the Vote. And then Peyton gets another plug-in for like the Starburst Thursday night concert series at Worlds of Fun or wherever the hell it was. Plug after Six plug Flags. After plug after plug. Six Flags. Thank you. Which, fun fact, is an actual tour that Kate Vogel did at that time.
Of course.
Yep. Just plugging Kate Vogel's music stuff while it's all going on. It's great. It's great. It's great.
You could tell this was a product placement by how the natural conversation they had about what flavor was their favorite.
Uh-huh. As Peyton pulls out a Starburst and starts throwing them at Mia. Yeah. Yeah. Then, but Peyton gets a phone call while she's talking to Mia and immediately heads to Close Over Bros and goes up onto the roof to see Haley there and says, Haley, don't jump. You have too much to live for. Because she's like, I got a call from Millie saying that you looked really sad when you came in and you went up on the roof and what's going on? And she's like, oh, a nice water balloon. Because Haley has a water balloon. And we find out that Haley is kind of panicking and really sad about what Mia said about, you know, her nomadic existence and that she thinks she's wasting her time because she has a family and her students at school, they're counting on her. Why does she think she can do this record and promote it and do all that kind of stuff? And Peyton calms her down and says she's allowed to have her dreams and it's all going to be just fine. And Haley then explains the water balloon, why she's got it. She and Lucas used to throw them off the roof of the cafe at other kids or bad people when they had a bad day and it made them feel better. Just then, Dan is walking down the street and Haley reminds them both because they're both very tempted to just throw it at him. And Haley says, you know, we were kids back then. We have grown up. We have matured. And Peyton just goes, yeah, you have, but I haven't. And she takes it and throws it off the roof and it lands at Dan's feet. And perfect. They laugh as they duck out of the way. And Haley tells Peyton that he has a heart condition and can drop dead. And Peyton's like, you didn't tell me that. It's adorable. I love it.
Minor again, detail.
Again, I am here for the Peyton and Haley stuff that we're getting. I love it. I love absolutely. It. I love it. I love it. I'm here for it. Then at work, Mouth is assigned the Ravens game as they find out that Q is going to be playing Broken Wrist at all. And they tell him, get a camera, go down there, get a story, and don't let us down. Great. Great. Mm-hmm. Then we cut to the Ravens game where the new game plan seems to be working. The other coach taunts Lucas about it, but Lucas just smiles smugly as we see, yes, the Ravens are winning. The plan is working. Q is getting them the ball. They are shooting the three-pointers, and they are making them, and things are working out well. Yay.
Yay.
Yay, things are going well.
I don't know why this isn't every team's strategy for basketball.
I don't know either. Don't know.
I don't know.
Because it seems like a good plan to me.
Yeah. My favorite was when he's like, they can't keep doing this. They're going to tire out. And he's like, subs. The other half of the bench gets up and goes. He's like, what is this, hockey?
Yep, was also my favorite part.
Yes. God. So then at halftime of the game, all the boys are very happy with their performance in the first half. Jamie's handing out towels. He's like, good game, gentlemen. Good game.
Jamie in his little suit.
Yep.
Little basketball manager.
He's on the coaching staff. He came up with this damn idea. He should be head coach of the Ravens. Yeah, he might have to be here in a little bit. Hang on, we'll keep going.
Yeah.
That's happened with the boys in the locker room. Lucas is in his office when he gets a phone call from Lindsay. He's very happy to hear from her until he says, oh, and we hard cut to the second half of the game where Lucas is pissed off.
He is big mad.
He's mad. He's yelling at everybody. He tells Q to suck it up. As Q's like, I can barely breathe, coach. He's like, suck it up. And he calls him in and, you know, tells them all, life's hard. You got to play through it. Who cares? Whatever. And then they taunt the other team by saying Bear Creek sucks, which just pisses off the other team more. And the coach then says, here's what we're going to do. You're going to foul Q. And you're either going to, he's either going to have to shoot left-handed free throws or you're going to break his other wrist. I don't care. Great. So they foul Q the first time. He makes both his free throws. So then he tells the other coach tells his team, you know, just break his wrist. I don't care.
The 40-year-old on his high school basketball team?
Seriously. Yes. And so then they foul Q. The ref doesn't call it. Lucas starts yelling at the ref, and he gets so mad as that 40-year-old basketball player makes a comment about Q or Lucas or something. Lucas turns around, grabs the kid, and goes to hit him. He doesn't, but he grabs him, and then a fight starts to break out almost, and Lucas is kicked out of the game. Yep.
Rough.
Yes. Then, so Nathan drags Lucas out of the game into the changing room and telling him what he did was very, very bad. And Lucas tells him Lindsay is seeing someone else. That's why she called him. Lindsay's moved on. Good for her. Nathan tells him, though, he can't wait around forever for her, and it might be time to just move on. And Lucas just says, she's supposed to come back.
Well, right. She's not.
No, she's right. Not.
And that's what Nate says. What if she doesn't?
Yeah.
Like.
Yep. So Lucas storms off, and then we see Mouth come around the corner with his camera looking at Nathan like, I got all that on tape. You know, him grabbing the kid. What do I do?
Yeah.
Honestly, the Scots should really just be careful whenever Mouth is around with a camera, because this is not the first time he has caught someone with the last name Scott nearly knocking out a teenager on camera.
Yep. Yeah. But, you know, he might do that. And then, you know, Lucas could become mayor of Tree Hill then. Why not? That's what happened last time.
Yeah. Perfect.
Anyway, then we go to Lucas, who goes to the hospital to check on Angie and Brooke. And Brooke asks if he won the game, but he says he doesn't know. And he also tells her that Lindsay called, which she says, oh, that's great, Lucas. But then she asks him to clarify why he didn't know if the team won or lost. And he says he doesn't know if the team won, but he definitely lost tonight.
And lost it?
Yeah. Then Mia and Peyton are at Red Bedroom Records, and she asks her what's going on between her and Lucas. And Peyton says nothing, as it's not easy to talk to him anymore. And Mia tells her, well, just get him drunk. That's, you know, guys always tell the truth then. And Peyton's like, says the 18-year-old. Meanwhile, Lucas might be following Mia's advice, and he's getting drunk at the bar as the phone rings and he does not answer it. He ignores it. And we find out that phone call is Haley, who's trying to call him after the game, while she tries to answer Jamie's questions about why Lucas got so mad at the game. And then Dan comes around the corner of the hallway, and Jamie sees him, and he asks Haley if he can give his card to Dan. And Haley says yes, so he runs, gives Dan a hug, gives him his card, and Dan tells Jamie that he's his best friend.
Yuck.
And as they leave, Dan thanks Haley, but she clarifies she did that for Jamie. Not for him.
Yep.
Then back at the news station, the station managers are foaming at the mouth to see if Mouth actually got the footage of Lucas grabbing that basketball player. And Mouth covers for Lucas and says that he didn't. And they are both very upset. And they, you know, kind of just shove past him and say they knew he wasn't ready for it.
I don't know. I understand, like, covering for your friends, but I also, like, there's got to be some kind of journalistic code or something, right? I don't know.
I mean, he already
Lucas
knows
would it's not have blamed him.
No, but I think also
Lucas
Mouth
would have been like, why didn't you?
Mouth also knows that it's bad enough for Lucas as it is, and it does not need to be super public knowledge that what Lucas did, you know. The consequences for Lucas are going to be severe anyways. You can already tell that. Everyone's like, it's bad, Lucas. Like, you did a really, really bad thing.
Yeah.
I don't think Mouth did not want to have one of his best friends have that projected across the 6 o'clock news.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Valid.
Yeah. Yep. Then Peyton gets ready to leave the office when she tells Mia how proud she is of her, and Mia thanks her for making her life great, and she's getting ready to do a cover of a song. And she's, you know, she doesn't want Peyton there because she just wants to do it and then have the little magical cover song elves make it pretty and magical. Great. Peyton leaves, and she sees Lucas passed out at the bar. She wakes him up and takes him home. Haley goes into the studio and finds Mia there. And she tells Mia how happy she is for her and her success and that she's kind of a bit jealous of it all. And Mia's like, what? I'm jealous of you with your kick-ass family and you're making this great record and your life's pretty great, Haley, which cheers her up because obviously Haley's been struggling with, you know, all of that kind of stuff of can she handle all of it? Well, Mia thinks she can, so that's great.
Yeah.
Then Deb. Deb arrives at Trick for her date. And her blind date, and she's supposed to meet the person who has the rose, and they, we find out the person that she's been chatting on the webcam with is Skills. So she's mortified. Skills is delighted, and they both
he's so thrilled,
and they both realize how awkward this is, and you know that obviously nothing can happen between them. Hard cut to them in Skills' bedroom, going, there are two consenting adults. What's it gonna hurt, you know, to do it once tonight, and then, you know, things get ripped off, and he goes, yeah, tonight and tomorrow.
She says, "Oh my."
Yep.
Deb is in fact Stifler's mom.
Stifler's mom. Absolutely.
She is Stifler's mom.
Deb is a cougar. Deb is cougar Deb.
Jennifer Coolidge ran so that Deb, what Barbara Allen could.
Yes.
Yeah.
Barbara Allen Woods could. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Oh my God. Yes. So then we get our montage moments for the end of the episode, which start with, I'm going to say one of my favorite musical moments ever of One Tree Hill. Halo is one of them from season 3. This is another one. It is a Mia recording a cover of Hallelujah. And it is my favorite version of this song ever. Yep. Period. Ever.
I prefer it to the original.
Exactly. It's so.
And that is a statement that in my line of work would probably get me tarred and feathered.
Yep.
Same. But I prefer it to the original.
Mm-hmm. It's a gorgeous version of the song. The entire version is just so good. So that's playing over the top. As we see Q ask Nathan if this is really bad for Lucas, and Nathan says, yeah, it already is. It's really bad. And Mouth watches the footage he got of Lucas grabbing the kid, and he promptly destroys it so no one can use it. Haley gets home to her family, and it's adorable because they're very happy to see her. And I think she realizes, you know, she's got a good life. She can handle everything going on, which is good. Brooke is sitting with Angie, and Dr. Copeland comes in to check on her. And he tells her that, you know, it's a great feeling, isn't it? And he says that's why he became a surgeon, you know, to give people that feeling that he's giving people their lives back. And he says, you know, you're going to feel that too. You know, you're going to have to give her back to her parents eventually. But, you know, when she has all these milestones in her life, she'll thank you for that, Brooke, because you gave her the opportunity to be able to live that life. And then he ends by telling her his name, which is Ethan. And she says, thank you, Ethan.
Yep. Good name.
Yep. Meanwhile, Dan is at the hospital standing over Reverend Carter, who seems to be on life support pretty much, as the nurse asks him if he's a relative and it's past visiting hours. And Dan says, no, I'm not a relative, but he's number one on my list.
Again, convicted murderer Dan Scott.
Yep.
Walking, like this, he's only been in jail 4 years. The people working in this hospital were working there 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They know who that man is.
Yep.
Everyone should be concerned. For Christ's sake, everyone knows who Dan Scott is.
Not to mention his face was probably plastered all over the news after it was found that he killed his brother and went to jail for it.
Well, and we already know his license plate and face was on all the billboards when people thought he kidnapped Jamie. Like, this man, his face is fresh in everyone's brains.
Yep. Everyone at that hospital should be very concerned for this reverend.
Yes. Well, I mean, and to the nurses, you know, to her defense, he didn't ever turn around and look at her. She just saw the back of his head. So
fair.
There's that. Yeah. There's that. But anyway, then the last scene is Peyton gets Lucas into his bed and sits over top of him and apologizes to him for saying that she never wanted this for him as he sleeps. She gives him a soft kiss on his temple. And as she walks out, he wakes up and he tells her that he hates her and he wishes she never came back because when she did, she ruined his life. And a distraught Peyton leaves.
Yeah.
And the episode ends.
Oh, ouch.
Uh-huh.
I've been waiting for that.
Thanks. I hated it.
God,
it doesn't suck any less.
Nope.
Yeah.
Here's what I'll say. I will give Chad Michael Murray so much props for his acting this episode because he does a bunch of 180s and the man pulls it off very well.
The emotional roller coaster that Lucas goes on in this episode is
I feel for my boy. Did he do it to himself? Yes and no. Yes, a little
slightly.
Bit. But did he deserve all of this? No. So that's the episode. What do we think? I love the episode. I think it's a great episode. There's a lot of shit that goes on, but I like when we have episodes that do that.
I'm glad that they finally closed the door on Lindsay.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Because, like, I think everyone else had pretty much accepted that there was no hope and that she wasn't coming back, but Lucas needed to hear it.
Yeah.
And, like there needed to be something as final as her starting to date again.
Her timing could have been better with a phone call.
Yeah.
But.
Because also, like, she knows enough about Raven's basketball that I'm sure she probably still has the calendar saved.
Yeah.
Well, but also he said, we're at halftime.
Mm-hmm. He said, we're at halftime and we're winning. So I'm going to dump this massive news on you that's absolutely going to upset you.
Right. Yeah. She could have said, oh, I'll call you later.
Yeah. Give me a call after the game. I'd love to hear what's going on.
Yep.
Done. Then you can break the news to the bastard after that. So that's on her. So boo on you, Lindsay, but glad you got your closure and you can move on. Great. Stay in New York and never come back.
Amen.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I love all the stuff with Brooke and Angie and the hottie doctor.
Yep.
They're very cute. It's very great.
Please.
Stop it.
I'm sorry. I can't.
God. Anyway. Yeah. The Haley stuff is cute. The Haley and Peyton stuff is so good. I know I said it once already, but I love the fact that they're friends, like that they're acting like friends and they're not just friends by proxy anymore.
Yeah. Do we know who directed this? Is it someone who's directed stuff before? Because something just felt like different and kind of fresh about how the episode was constructed as well, with that like little beginning montage with the sneak peeks of what's about to happen. Yeah, we've seen that once or twice before. Mm-hmm. And those episodes always end up being my favorites. When they do little like teasers about what the chaos they're about to unleash is going to be and then go back and give us context.
He is a director who has directed them in the past. His name is Stuart Gillard, and he had not directed a lot of stuff for them. He directed one episode of season 3, one episode of season 4, and then he does one episode in season 5, and he does come back and do one in 6, and that's it. That's all he's done.
Huh. Okay.
For them. But it's good. Yeah. It's very good. I want to make sure. Yeah, it was written by He Who Must Not Be Named.
Yeah.
Of course, because I'm pretty sure he wrote a lot of this season. Because of writer's strike and everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's that.
I liked it. I liked how it was constructed. The fucking Deb,
Deb and skills of it all. The Deb and skills of it all. Oh my God.
Can we just talk about the fact that so far in this series, Skills has gone from Bevan to Bevan in 20 years?
Yep. Uh-huh. Skills has a type.
Skills has a type.
Absolutely has a type. Yes. And I love that for him.
40 blonde women.
Yes. Yes.
Yep.
God, it's just, and I love the fact too, we started the season with Skills talking about cougars and hot cougar love. And what did he get at the end of the season?
Yep.
Some hot cougar love.
Good for you,
Skills. We love that for him.
Right. God.
Yeah. No, I don't know. And honestly, I like
good
it.
For, good for Deb. Good for Deb. I'm glad she's getting
both
some.
Both of them.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Deb she's deserves more she deserves some than, hands. Yeah. Deb yeah. deserves more than a clown motorboat in the bathroom of her grandson's.
Oh, boy.
Deb's
you're not wrong.
That a clown motorboat in the bathroom.
You're not wrong about what happened at
son's birthday party. That is a sentence I don't think I've ever heard before in my life, and I don't think it could ever be replicated ever again.
I'm just saying. The makeup was in.
No, I know. Dear God.
I just realized that I forgot to mention that last week's episode, we got Gavin DeGraw back. We got more Gavin DeGraw music. I forgot to mention it last
We got
week.
One of my favorite Gavin songs.
Yep.
Yes, yes. That was his new single at the time, which is why they played it.
Oh, God, get my cane. Jesus Christ.
Yep.
So old.
Yep, it's fine. It's fine.
Anyway, I'm sorry.
Yes, no, music was good the last two episodes, because obviously, if you guys don't remember, we bulk record two episodes at a time typically, so that's why it's fresh in our brains. But we had Gavin DeGraw last episode, we had Kate Vogel's cover of Hallelujah this episode, which was amazing. It was just good. It was all good. It was very, very good. It makes me very excited for season finale. I understand why Ben wants to keep watching, because it does, it very much is like, where do we go from here? What do we do?
The beginning of season six must be blending with the end of season five for me, because I swear...
Yes.
There are many, like, I'm genuinely trying to think about next week's episode and all of the shit that happens or that I seem to think is going to happen.
Yeah. No, what I do remember is I know the season five finale is a finale, but there is also a lot of stuff I know they carry over into season six because they knew they wanted more stuff to be able to do with that. So like the first couple episodes of season six really do feel like it's like season 5.5. And you know,
and that makes sense.
Yeah. With the writer's strike and everything, because they're used to having 22 episode seasons. So in a normal, you know, thing, they would have had four more episodes to play with on top of it. So
I will say, speaking from 2023, this 18. This shorter season is so nice. I don't have the patience for 24 episode seasons of anything anymore. Like, if you can't wrap up a season worth of storyline in 13 to 18 episodes, like, go fuck yourself. Like,
yeah.
No, it's just unnecessary.
Well, alrighty then. Anything else we want to add about the episode before we leave? Or are we all good? Are we ready for season finale next week?
If Dan kills this fucking reverend, I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. Dear God. Lock him up. Lock him. Anyway. I'm losing my mind.
Topical.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, thank you guys so much for listening. As always, don't forget to like, rate, and subscribe to the podcast. It really does help us out in the long run. Rate us 5 stars. It does help us out with the lovely podcast algorithms. We really appreciate the ratings. It's really nice to see in here. If you have any questions, comments, and or concerns, follow us on social media. We are everywhere. You can get social media at On Wednesdays Pod. If you have a question, hit us up in the Instagram DMs. That's where we live most often. And yeah, we will see you guys next week for the season finale of One Tree Hill season 5. Well, we'll see you guys then. Woo. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.